If you caught my last episode for the 2019 season, I kind of talked about how 2019 kind of landed solidly in the middle of my expectations. It wasn't a great year. It wasn't awful. It was solid, you know, like the kind of okay year that some things worked out really well, some things did not. But overall, if you added everything together, it was not a breakthrough year, but it was solid. And when I think of a breakthrough year, which is the conversation that we're going to have today, it's the kind of year when all the actions that you've been taking for years and years, or for a year consistently, basically all of those actions come together and that action starts to match the results that you're working towards. So what do I mean by that? Some of the results you're looking for could be, or working towards could be, publicity, earning more money, TV gigs, and the list goes on. Only you knows what would constitute what your breakthrough year looks like. This episode will share some of the 2019 breakthrough years that I observed out in pop culture and a little closer to home. And then some steps that I think you should take, as well as I, to have a breakthrough year in 2020 and beyond. Like most people, there are times when I just wonder, is this going to be the year? The year when my income matches my aspirations and when my personal life resembles the one that I dream of and where my physical health is where it needs to be. Yep, that's a lot, but I'm constantly working towards certain end results. Here's the thing. I understand that everything that I'm working towards, that you're working towards, is just part of a process. Like, it doesn't happen overnight, regardless of what we all want to think and what we all hope for. It's just never overnight. So I thought I'd share a couple of examples of people who had breakthrough years and kind of what happened before that breakthrough year. So the first person is Lil Nas X. He had an incredible year. And I'm not going to lie, if I hear Old Town Road one more time, I might go a little insane, but I'm not hating. I'm not hating that he made 72 remakes of the song or was singing it everywhere. I shared in his joy. You know why? Here's the thing. Lil Nas X, actually, I was researching him, and he was actually really well known as an influencer before the song ever hit. And in fact, the song became popular on, of all things, TikTok. So before it went viral, it kind of went viral on TikTok. So this is kind of an interesting thing to note. And then the other thing is, he spent only $32 thereabouts on the audio that he used in the background of that song. So you know how I'm always talking about do it ugly, like stop overthinking the stuff that you're trying to do. It does not need to be perfect. Just get it out there and refine it. He's an example of that whole idea. He got it out there. He had it on TikTok. He kept sharing it. He did several remakes. I joke about 72 remakes, but literally, like, I don't even know how many he did. Like, any person who was like, you know what, Lil Nas, like, I'd like to do a remake, he's like, dude, okay, because he's not stupid. So he has made a ton of money. He has blasted into notoriety in all the best ways. And a couple of things also that I want to point out, he kept hustling and collaborating. So even though it was starting to gain traction, he didn't like sit on that little bit of traction. He pushed harder. And then the other thing was, controversy pushed the song over the top. Sometimes controversy is a gift that keeps on giving. Thank you, Billboard Top 100, for saying he wasn't country, because the rest of us decided that he was. And there you go. And he's laughing all the way to the bank. Example number two in pop culture who had a breakthrough year, Missy Elliott. She got her freak on in 2019. And let's be clear, she took a 14-year hiatus. If she had had a baby 14 years ago, she would have a 14-year-old. or 13, whatever, a child, a grown, almost grown adult, you know, like 5 years. Anyway, you know where I'm going with this. My point is 14 years is a long time to have a hiatus from a career. She took 14 years from music. That is a huge risk. But she had health issues. I think she got burnt out. Like, there was a lot going on. So she took her break. And you know what happened with Iconology, which is what she released, the album she released in 2019? She leveraged the knowledge she'd accumulated from all of her previous years in music. And that knowledge was the foundation for what she did in 2019. And then finally, a big thing was she stayed true to her listening avatar while attracting new listeners. Basically, she didn't change who she was in order to try and attract new people. She stuck with her formula. And I am so glad that she did, because I loved everything that she did last year. I can't wait to see if she does something new. But you know what? She could probably take another 14-year break and like reemerge again. Like, we'll see what happens. And then example number three, this one I almost didn't put on the list because I feel like this person is so young that hopefully they haven't peaked, but I don't think that will be the case. Greta Thunberg from the young lady who won the Time Person of the Year. She's only 16, so this is why I'm a little like cagey about adding her to the list. But I'm adding her for a specific reason. She is unusual in the sense that I think she will continue to focus on her mission for her whole life. Like, I don't think she's just talking to talk. I think she genuinely believes in what she is talking about, which is global warming. And it's a thing. We've got problems. But that's not the point of this show. Why did she have a breakthrough year, though? Sometimes you need to stay true to your beliefs, even when you're sitting there all alone. So she came into popular view, if you will, because she was protesting the environment and she was all by herself, all alone, just her out there, just believing in what she believes. And she kept just getting out there doing it because she believed so deeply in the mission of saving the planet. And the thing that you learn from that is other people are watching even when you're out there on your own. And that courage is something that attracts other people. So be courageous about the things you believe in. And that is why I believe she had a breakthrough year. It wasn't because she's able to snap back at certain people. I think it's just because she truly was courageous and putting herself out there. And people who are 2, 3, 4 times her age aren't willing to do that. So for someone that young to do that, it's something to think about. But what about people who are a little more real to you? Like people that, like a person that you could actually meet in real life. So I thought that I would give an example of a person in the personal finance space who I am a huge fan of, who's a wonderful friend of mine, and who I know has been working her butt off for years. And that is Sandy Smith. She killed it in 2019. And the thing is, again, she has been working so hard for years. And if you're not familiar with Sandy Smith, let me share her with you. She is the founder of The Hustle Crew, an online community with over 14,000 members focused on earning more money through side hustles. She also founded the Elevate Conference for Influencers of Color in the personal finance space. And she finally won, not one, not two, but 3 Plutus Awards at FinCon, acknowledging all of her hard work empowering communities of color financially. And the Plutus Awards are basically the equivalent of the Oscars in the financial space. So this was a big deal that her community saw what she was doing and gave her the accolades that she's earned. She has earned those awards. So there are several lessons I want to share from her journey. The first one is, eventually people will notice your hard work. Sometimes it's just not on your timetable, because she was like Susan Lucci, for those of you who are like, who's Susan Lucci, just Google her. But she, every year she would be nominated and she wouldn't get the award. She would not be nominated for several awards. She wouldn't get the award. Every year for years, like I feel like it was 7 or 8 years in a row, and she just didn't win anything. And it was very demoralizing, I think, for her, because she knew how hard she was working and she was just fed up. And then this year, or the year that I'm talking about, 2019, she won 3 awards, including Lifetime Achievement, which is something to like, wow. But the thing is, most people have no idea how much hard work she put in before other people even noticed, right? Sandy regularly works on the Hustle Crew and Elevate literally until 1 a.m. or later her time. How do I know? Because it's 11 p.m. my time in Colorado, and we will chit chat on Facebook daily about our project. So I'm literally in touch with her, I'd say every other day, and I know that she's going to be up working hard past like any time that any normal human should be up, but she has a little boy. And so little people, they take energy, and you can't not focus on them and do work. Like, she has to focus on her child because she loves him and he's adorable. And then when he goes to sleep, she does her other work outside of her regular 9 to 5. So she's tired all the time, but she's putting in the work. Lesson number 2, her primary focus ultimately is serving and connecting with other people authentically. And that again comes to play with the Hustle Crew and the Elevate Conference, Elevate Workshops. Like, she's really taken a lot of time and spent a lot of time connecting with people. And I think nowadays that is an area where most people struggle. They're horrible with connecting with people. I think that there's this idea that you don't need people as much as you do, but that is a mistake. And then lesson number 3 is, whatever you're working towards, like from her journey, whatever you're working towards is hard work. I hate to share this with you. I hate to tell you this, but it's hard work. And I'm getting kind of fed up with people thinking that it isn't. So whether you're taking a course, whether you're trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to make extra money, whatever it is, it's not easy. And I wish that people would stop like thinking that what they want is easy to get. Typically it's not. Typically these things require that you dig deep. And I know that Sandy has dug deep and she continues to do so. And that is, in my view, part of the reason why she had a breakthrough year in 2019. So here are 8 tips to having a breakthrough year. These are tips that I'm going to take and use myself, but I want to share what you can do to create your breakthrough year. And here's tip number 1. You need to understand that the breakthrough year you're working towards might not happen this year. So real talk, 2019, I told you, like, it landed in the middle. However, all of that work that I did could potentially be the foundation for my upcoming breakthrough year. So maybe all the hard work that I did in 2019 with Money on the Mountain, with my books, with selling the course, like all the stuff that I was doing, maybe that wasn't to make 2019 my breakthrough year. Maybe it was to make 2020 that year for me, or 2021. I don't know. But the reality is, tip number 1 is making the point that what you want to have happen, that breakthrough year, may not necessarily happen this year. This could be your foundational year, and you just have to like understand that that's reality. Tip number 2, stop calling it failure when things don't work out the way that you would like them to. Here's the thing. In my view, we are always constantly in a state of like A/B testing our ideas out. Like, we're trying to see what's going to work. It could be that your actions aren't matching the actions needed to have the results that you need. It could be that the actual processes that you're using aren't going to attract the results that you're working towards. Certain things just need to be tweaked. So when I share kind of some of the stuff that I am working towards the, you know, in terms of this year, you'll see what I mean. Tip number 3, just let go of what doesn't work for you. Just because something works for other people doesn't mean that it's a good fit for you. It could be a certain type of work. It could be being an entrepreneur. It could be whatever it is. It might not be that it's a good fit for you. And sometimes you have to dig deep and have real conversation with yourself and be honest. So like for me, if I hadn't had the results that I did towards the second half of this previous year, I would just find another job. Because honestly, entrepreneurship is exhausting. And what I wanted, which was to grow passive income, I was like, it has to happen. I'm like sick of this. And if I hadn't done that, I would have just found a job and I would have continued to work on my process, but I would have just done it a different way. And I think that that's something not enough people share, like in the entrepreneurship space. Like it's hard being self-employed. It's hard being out there on your own and like trying to get things to happen and trying to see what works. Again, the constant A/B testing, it's energetically really tiring. And I got this year, I got tired. I was just like, I was tired going into 2019 and then I was tired going out. So I was just like, look to myself, you know, if this doesn't start coming together, I'm done with doing it in the way that I am. And fortunately, it's starting to come together. And I'm happy to say that is the case. Tip number four, declare your intentions loudly. I've mentioned that I wanted to have a $250,000 earnings year. I did not even get close to that goal. It's not even glimmer in my eye right now. Not even close, but I'm okay with that. And the reason why is you need to declare your intentions, because the more you declare them, the more you help the universe line things up for you. This is so woo-woo. However, two other things I'm declaring is that I want to be in the Miami Vice reboot. Hello, universe. Hello. And I would like to have a date with Lenny Kravitz. So we'll see how that goes, but it's out there. Hopefully after I've lost a little weight and I'm feeling sassy. Tip number five, market your butt off. It's really hard to have a breakthrough year if no one knows who you are and how to find you. How do you do this? Especially if maybe your pockets are shallow, like there's not a lot of cash in your life. So the first thing you can do is really invest in your local community. Show up at local events, attend conferences, local and out of state. Run your own podcast, vlog, or blog, or all three. And make sure that you're showing up every single day and have a plan for the days when you don't feel like showing up. That could be pre-scheduling content, that kind of thing. Tip number six, double down on what worked. Take time to look back at what did work for you in the previous year. Ask yourself, why did it work? Look at what worked from every angle. Was it your process? Was it the time of year? Was it who you were serving? Like, just look at it and pick through everything. A little hiccup there. Then figure out how you can replicate those results in such a way that's even easier than what you did the first time. Tip number seven, set your goals and then push for more. I tend to set very aggressive goals. And the reason why is because I'm always happy if I land in the middle of the results that I'm working towards. If I set really easy goals and I achieve them too easily, it's not challenging enough for me. And I might slack off towards the end. So I tend to set very aggressive goals. And what I've also noticed is even when I land in the middle, other people still may perceive the result that I achieve in a really positive way. So even though I'm like, I didn't make like, you know, $250,000, I didn't get close. People were still excited about some of the other results that I had. And so was I. And I think that that's something to think about, because I think a lot of people are very nervous about declaring their intentions and being bold, because what will other people think? Well, who cares what other people think? Like, you only need to think about what you care about and what you think, and that's it. I am very cold when it comes to like caring what other people think. I am my worst critic. I am so hard on myself, and that is, I think, very much an only child thing too. Like, I have certain standards and certain things that I want to achieve. My mom never sits there, like my family, my grandma and my relatives, they never go, Michelle, you're just not trying hard enough. Like they're like, you're working so hard. And I'm like, I know. Why are you working so hard? Like not in a bad way, but like they're like fascinated, because I am my toughest critic. So I don't really care that much about what other people think, because at the end of the day, I live with my toughest critic, which is me. Tip number eight, keeping it real, you have to do the work. You just have to do the work. Most people talk a lot, but they just won't do the work. And we get tired of listening to you when you're clearly not doing the work. Here's where people get stuck. They focus on perfection. They try to avoid difficulties that might occur as a result of working towards their goals. They're so worried about discomfort related to working on the goal. Honestly, get over it. Like, part of the process of getting to your goal is having things not work. You can't make adjustments on a perfect path. There's no perfect path. It's just not reality. So those are the 8 tips. I hope you took them to heart. So again, tip number 1, your breakthrough year may not be this year, but it could be the foundational. This year could be the foundational year that sets up your breakthrough year. Tongue twister. Stop calling it failure. We're always in a constant state of A/B testing what we're doing. Let go of what doesn't work for you. That's tip number 3. Tip number 4, declare your intentions loudly. Tip number 5, market your butt off. Tip number 6, settle down on what worked. Tip number 7, set your goals and then push for more. Tip number 8, do the work. So will 2020 be my breakthrough year? I don't know, but I'm going to talk about what didn't work, what did work, and what I'm going to do to set up my upcoming year. I've actually spent the end of December, beginning of January, really thinking about everything, looking at the whole year, looking at where I made money, where I didn't, what made me happy, what didn't, what like I looked at everything. I actually took a basically a 4-week social media break, partly because social media is so distracting. It's kind of hard for me to like really get the quiet time in my brain so I could think. And so this is what didn't work. This is what I came up with. My workflow drove me freaking crazy. It was a complete disaster, especially towards the end of the year. Basically, like when and where I was working. I'll talk about that more. I felt like my course was always on sale. Now, the second half of the year, that was just because of the holiday season. Of course, it's going to be on sale, that kind of thing. Part of this was because I hadn't really figured out a way to get my course, Make Money with eBooks, in front of enough people consistently. And I think that that is obviously necessary in order to make consistent sales. But I will share what I'm going to do differently in 2020. But I just hated feeling like my course was always on sale because I felt like it diminished the value of the course. And actually, I raised the price. And so I was nervous about raising the price because I felt like I kind of had, you know, many, many months of data to suggest that my course was way underpriced for the amount of work that I was putting into it and help that I was giving students and that kind of thing. So I had to raise the price. Like, it was a non-negotiable. And so I was also nervous, like, will anyone buy the course? And people did. They did both on sale and not on sale. But, and actually at the sale price, because I raised the prices, it's totally fine. But I just didn't want a constant sale happening all the time. Like, I didn't want to show up on someone's podcast episode and be like, well, because I'm on your podcast, I'm going to give you a deal, which was kind of what I was doing. And I'll talk about what I will be doing in 2020 instead. Hosting Money on the Mountain in October. I will never, ever, ever host an event in the month of October, November, or December. Those are the months of the year where I am tired because I push really hard from January until the end of October. And so by the time October came around and Money on the Mountain happened, and I just was done. And then every time I was like, I'm recovered, I feel great, I would crash. So you will see, I was kind of looking at my social media where I'm like, I feel great, da, 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 and then I would crash hard, where I was just like, I'm exhausted. And then I would like be energized, and then I would crash again. The funny thing about this is, at the beginning of last year, at the end of 2018, I was talking to my mastermind group, and I'm like, yeah, I want a 10-month year because I really hate doing stuff, you know, October on. Yes, I get that October would not be 10 months. Okay. The point is, you're wrapping things up in October so that November and December are super chill. And I ended up making October so intense because running an event where you're afraid that you're going to be the Ja Rule of the personal finance space was stressful. And so, never again in October. I actually am excited because I've set the months for the 2021 Money on the Mountains. Right now, it looks like I'm going to host two, and they are nowhere close to October. Thank God. Yeah, never again. Another thing that didn't work is pretending that I'm able to work from home. I cannot work from home. I am not able to work from home. And the reason why is I see all the stuff I could be doing. I could be cleaning. I could be organizing. I could be putting stuff away. I could be wiping a wall down. I could be doing laundry. My place is so distracting. And I live in a triplex. So other thing is there are other people in the building, and they, all of us have the kind of hours when we're always around. We're always around. So I always hear people talking, laughter, which isn't bad. It's good, but not when I'm trying to get work done. So if I'm trying to do deep thinking work or just get a lot of stuff out there, I can't do it from the house. I have to get out. I have to get out. Having my course office hours during the weekend. I hated having office hours over the weekend. I tried to do that because I thought it might make it easier for my students to attend if they, you know, work through the week or whatever. But honestly, I had also previously hosted office hours during the week, and that was much better because then the weekend was mine. So that is something that I will not be doing anymore. I will not be hosting office hours during the weekend. I also will not be hosting webinars over the weekend. I hated that too. Like, I love hosting webinars actually, but not over the weekend. I just won't do it anymore. Social media. Now, this one's interesting because I continue to really love Instagram and weirdly enough Twitter, but not romance Twitter. Because you guys, you ladies are intense on romance Twitter. Anywho, I love Instagram, but what I notice, especially every time I do one of these social media breaks, when I do my cleanse, I notice how much time I free up and how I'm not distracted. Like, I'm completely not distracted right now because I am not on social media at all. Like, I don't miss it. I don't think about it. I'm not worried about it. And so this is something that I have really thought about because it is a productivity killer, even though it can attract people to your business and to your offerings. So I'm really looking at ways to streamline my social media use, even if it's daily, but like how I do it. And then the other thing is I am really not going to have, especially Facebook, really available to me. Like, there's trying to figure out the best way to have access without like being aware that I have access. I'm not sure how to do it, but we'll figure that out. And then finally, ironically, the last item after what I just said, decision fatigue. I got tired of making so many decisions during the week, like decisions that I could have made during the weekend so I could avoid trying to figure things out during the week. So decisions like what to eat, what, where to work, what to wear. Like, I just got tired of deciding things. So yeah, those are the things that did not work in 2019. So what did work? There were some things that worked out really well. The first thing is focusing on consistency. Hands down, consistency is the hardest freaking thing I've ever worked on in my life as related to my business, my podcast, that kind of thing. So freaking hard. And in particular, like getting my podcast out on a schedule instead of like haphazardly. And so that was hard. And I'm happy to say that I achieved that goal. Podcasting worked. Downloads are growing nicely. I still love doing it. I love the conversations. I love just how it works. I love its role in what I'm doing. So I absolutely love podcasting. And I actually spoke at two events this previous year about different topics related to podcasting, and actually will be speaking on a podcasting related topic in the beginning of 2020 as well. So I'm loving podcasting and just how it can broaden what I'm doing, and I'm in control of the medium that I'm on. Excuse me. Diversifying my revenue. This was the hardest thing that I've worked on after diversifying my income. This was the hardest thing after consistency. Sorry. It was so hard to do. But I have mentioned on and off in the show that I didn't want to just do freelancing. Like, I was really worried that I would start freelancing and then make like crazy amounts of money and then look and be like, holy crap, like this is one stream of income and I need to figure out how to diversify it. So part of the reason why I worried about that was because I don't actually enjoy freelancing. Or, you know, there's lots of things we could be doing. I just didn't want to be pigeonholed and stuck in a role that I didn't enjoy. So I am glad that I focused on this for a couple of reasons. Now I have friends in California and potentially I feel like Maryland or Delaware who are being penalized for being in business and wanting to freelance and do what they want to do. And now they are being limited on the amount of work that they want to do. So they're now scrambling to find other ways to make money or to grow their other revenue streams. So even though I wasn't making as much money because I was building out my revenue streams, I think that I'm in a really good position because all I'm doing in 2020 and beyond is growing those revenue streams. That, like, literally that's it. Like, I know exactly what I like doing, where I make money, and I just have to focus on amplifying the effect. And so say, for example, I made $100,000 in freelance income and I lived in Florida, or excuse me, and I lived in California. It, with the model that I set up now, I would just readjust my focus. And I love diversifying my revenue because depending on the time of year, what's going on, one revenue stream may make more than the other. So it keeps me engaged and interested because I like to have lots of different things kind of going on. I work best in that way, but I don't work best only working on one thing. So I had to recognize that about myself. SEO. You know what? I could actually get hired on at a tech company for SEO because I'm really good at it. The majority of my organic search is coming from SEO. So I'm doing a really good job of creating SEO specific content and getting organic search back to my website. I'm so happy about this. I've spent a lot of time kind of figuring it out. And I'm pleased to say that this is the number one way that I get traffic to my website. Holding on to Squarespace. You're like, what is Squarespace? Squarespace is my blog all about Colorado. I have let that blog kind of simmer in the background. And now I'm about to let that thing unleash. I now understand the role that it plays in my overall business. It's basically a niche website. And the cool thing is now all I have to do is duplicate the process that I used for Michelle's Money Hungry with Squarespace. What does this mean? It means I'm doing a lot of content, but I'm enjoying it. So as long as I enjoy it, it's not really a big deal. Alternating events that I'm attending. You know what? I'm one person and I have only so much capacity. And in the last couple of years, I've decided to alternate the years that I attend out-of-state events. I won't be attending Podcast Movement in 2020 because I attended in 2019 and honestly had a standout year. It was amazing. In fact, my Podcast Movement 2019 was my breakthrough year at that event. It was incredible. But instead of going to Podcast Movement, in 2020, I'll be attending FinCon. I cannot wait because I haven't attended in 2 years and I miss it so much and I'm thrilled about it. Now, alternating events has been wonderful because it's also allowed me to attend events that I normally wouldn't be able to because I only have so much time. So that's been good as well. In fact, 6 to 7 events seems to be, 6 is like the magic number. I'm mentioning 7 events on the list below as I share it with you, but one of those events is just a one-day thing in Denver, so it's not really a big deal. So I will be at Camp Fies, the Rocky Mountain region, and I will be speaking. Really excited about it. The Elevate Conference in Washington, D.C. Afros and Audios in New York City. Those two conferences are back-to-back, so I will be out east for 2 weeks to do those two things. FinCon in Long Beach, California. I cannot wait. I literally, right now the plan is to be in Cali for 3 weeks. So I'm thinking I'll be in Long Beach for a week, in Santa Monica for a week, and then maybe San Diego for a week. I have to figure it out, but yeah, I can't wait. Very excited. Denver Startup Week, which is an amazing event that is hosted here in Denver. It's free, incredible speakers. It's just insane. It's like the best event ever. The Fuel Your Influence Blogging Conference, that's the one-day event that my friend Jenny Fink has created. It's an amazing, amazing event. She is so thoughtful about her speakers, that kind of thing. In fact, the Mediavine representative who speaks at this event is amazing. It's just insane, amazing. And then the Outdoor Media Summit in Estes Park, Colorado. Since I have a Colorado blog, I do talk a lot about outdoor-related content, and so the Outdoor Media Summit is something that I plan on attending. I have a couple different missions for Square State, and one of them is also just showing people of color in outdoor spaces, i.e., if I have to be in a picture for every kind of thing that I do, I'm going to do it, because there are no stock photos of, like, Black people snowboarding, I snowboard. Black people camping, I camp, that kind of thing. So I can't wait to be at Outdoor Media Summit. Some changes and areas of focus for me in 2020. So area of focus, I'm doing a 100 podcast interview challenge in 2020 because I'm insane. And I'm actually very excited about this. I have a list of 125 shows. I do not have to necessarily be on a personal finance related show. So if you are listening and you have a show that is not personal finance related, but you think that my content is suited for your listeners, email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com or private message me on Instagram at michelleismoneyhungry and we'll figure it out. I'm doing a 365 days of Instagram challenge. No, I will not be live streaming every day. That's a little too extra for me. However, what I will be doing is making sure that I show up every day on that platform. I'll have some stuff that's like pre-made so that I can just upload it and go. But I will be on Instagram every single day starting January 1st with pre-loaded content until January 6th, because I'll technically be off of social media until January 6th. But you'll start seeing me on Instagram. And I'm very excited about this. I have a specific goal in mind with Instagram, so we'll see how that goes. Workflow. Oh my God, I cannot wait. Ugh, I've already started doing this. My workflow was not working. And partly what I felt like was happening was that I was always working and it just felt like treading water in the worst way. So instead, what I'm doing is working Monday through Thursday, front loading my week, kind of like when I used to work Monday through Thursday before. I loved it. When I worked at the university, when I first started billion years ago, I worked 4 days a week. And they were only 8-hour days, actually, which is kind of interesting now that I reflect on it. Like for the most part, it was like 8 hours. But anyway, Monday through Thursday, I'm going to go all in. It could be like an 8-hour day. It could be a 12-hour day. It could be a 14-hour day, Monday through Thursday. Those are the days. And in fact, if I have a webinar, a meeting, or office hours, they have to occur Monday through Thursday, period. End of story. Why? Because I want to have Friday through Saturday to myself. If I want to go to Steamboat Springs, which actually is on my list of places to go for a weekend sometime in February or March. If I want to be in Breckenridge, which typically I do. If I just want to chill out, if I want to spend time with my mom, if I want to go visit my grandma, a lot of this kind of thing happens over the weekend. And so I find it irritating that I've set up my work life in such a way that I can't facilitate the things that I'm trying to do, which is the whole point of working for myself. You know what I'm saying? So Monday through Thursday, I'll be working like a crazy person. And then Friday through Sunday, it's a different kind of vibe. And actually, Friday through Saturday would be when you would find me editing podcasts, because it just takes a different kind of energy to do that. Scheduling out where I'm working. I talked about decision fatigue. I found it frustrating. Like I would sit there in my place. I would wake up and be like, where am I going to work today? Because I can't work from home. Like I can't do it. I can't focus. And it stressed me the hell out. So I would wake up stressed out because I couldn't figure out where I was going to work. Part of the problem is in the winter months, I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I mean, you do because you watch the weather report, but I have to consider the weather as I build out my schedule and where I'm going to work. So I love working from co-working spaces. That's not an issue at all, but I have to like schedule where I'm going to be so that when I wake up, I know where I'm going to go. And so instead of like trying to figure this out, like on a Tuesday, like I wake up on Tuesday and then Tuesday, I'm like, where am I going? Oh my God. Instead, like a normal human being, I'm going to on Sunday, like just check the weather, because if it's like a snowstorm or something, obviously that changes everything. But if it's like a relatively normal week, I can figure out where I need to be, schedule it all out, and then there's no guessing and there's no decisions that I have to make. And so that is what I am doing. And already, I've already planned out my January. And again, on Sunday, I'll double check everything. But then that way, I just wake up knowing what I need to do and where I need to go. So the day that I'm recording this episode, I know that tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to go to my free co-working space that I love, that the city of Denver has for startups and people who are in business for themselves. I know that I'm going to be there tomorrow. And that's the place that I'm heading towards first thing in the morning. It opens at 9 a.m. and then I will be there until 5. I know that the next day I'm going to be there all day as well, and that I will be attending a holiday party. The other thing, actually, when I work from that space, I know that I'm working out at the Civic Center Moves, which is a free series of fitness classes that they offer through the city of Denver for the whole year. Someday, so like one day is hip hop fitness, the other it's like yoga cross, like these are legit amazing classes. So I know also where I'm working out, and that was the other issue because I'm trying to lose my last 20 pounds, 24 pounds. And part of me trying to do that is knowing where I'm going to work out. So now I know, like, if I work from the free co-working space, I know that I'll also be working out at the other space. You know what I mean? So it's just so much easier. Batching my work. So here's the thing. If Michelle Schroeder Gardner of Making Sense of Sense can be a month, 2 months ahead on her content while she is sailing through the Dry Tortugas, which I literally thought was only a place of make-believe in the Pirates of the Caribbean, I can batch my work. And so one of the things that I'm focusing on very, very intensely is batching my work. Period. It's literally not a negotiable anymore. I can't stand scrambling like a day or two before I think a post should be coming out. It's affecting my page views. It's affecting my ability to make money. It's affecting a lot of stuff. I hate not having my content set and ready to go. And so I've spent quite a bit of time from the middle of December on just batching my work. That's all I do, is just getting it out there, because I have very aggressive goals for 2020 and I can't achieve them if I'm rushing all the time. I just can't stand it anymore. So batching work is what I'm doing. Running Money on the Mountain. I love Money on the Mountain. I love it so much. I'm so proud of the work that I did, but there is no way I'm doing it in 2020. I think that 2020 will be a very stressful year for many reasons that have nothing to do with my life. It just has to do with what's going on in the world. And so I've felt that there are a couple of things that could have made Money on the Mountain run better. Because of that, I also felt like I could address that the year before hosting my next two in 2021. So I already know what months I'm going to host them. I already know the themes for those two events, but I felt like there were a couple of areas that could have made the event easier for me to run. And so I'm focusing on that in 2020. And I'll reflect more on that in my book that I'm releasing, How to Host Your First In-Person Event Without Going Broke or Losing Your Mind. So definitely check that book out. Growing my Michelle's Money Hungry email list. I have several different email lists related to the different things I'm focused on. So like I have one for Square State, I have one for Michelle's Money Hungry, I have one for my romance books. And ironically, the Colorado list and the romance books just grows like crazy. Those two are the most responsive lists I've ever seen in my life. I can't even understand how they grow like this, but they do. Finally, Michelle's Money Hungry list has started to grow. And it's been painful, like trying to get that one to grow. I don't even understand why it's been so hard. But now I've started to have opt-ins that people really like, where they're opting in at 50%. So I have an opt-in where it's 50%. I have another one that's 100% opt-in, which is crazy. So now I know that I'm making things like that. I understand who my avatar is a lot better. And so I'm able to create but are opt-ins to grow my list because honestly, it makes money. It just does. And I know this based on my book sales and based on other results that I was looking for. And then finally, I need to create a systems guide so that I don't waste brain energy on stuff that I don't need to think about. See the theme here about logistics and making things easier and brain energy. So anywho, that is the show. That is what I'm working on. I hope that you and I have a breakthrough year this year. If not, maybe it's just the foundation for the upcoming year. Regardless, I am hustling because I kind of enjoy it, but I'm changing how I'm hustling again Monday through Thursday and then chilling out Friday through Sunday, because that is a better way for me to work. No more office hours over the weekend, no more. Oh, and the other thing is I won't be in my Facebook groups either. So I will close the Facebook groups too, so that I don't have to moderate them. So basically you can archive your groups and then reopen them. That's the other thing I'm going to do, because I feel like there are a lot of boundaries that I need to observe in order to make sure that I'm focusing on things that work. One of the things that made the biggest difference for me in 2019 was my email responder. I literally said, I am not available over the weekend. I am hiking. I will respond to your email the following business day. One of the things that I noticed as a self-employed person, as an entrepreneur, is that people think you're available all the time. Now, you may accidentally fall into that. And I was like, I did that. And then finally, I just thought, this sucks. And I literally changed my email responders and it was a lifesaver. And people mention it. I've had people say, yeah, we know you're hiking. Or they say they know to patiently wait for me to respond during regular business hours. So that actually worked out really, really well. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it's helpful for you as you get prepared for your 2020 or 2021, depending on when you're listening to this. And I hope that this is helpful as you work towards your breakthrough year. I hope you have a great day. Hope you're having a beautiful day. And make sure to like and subscribe to this show. To get to the show notes, you'll go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/this-is-your-breakthrough-year. Again, that's michelleismoneyhungry.com/this-is-your-breakthrough-year.